I know you are looking for Jesus, the crucified, who is no longer here. Jesus has been raised exactly as it was foretold. Come and see the burial place. Then go quickly and tell the disciples that Jesus has risen from the dead and now goes ahead of you to Galilee. You will see Jesus there. That is the message I have for you. The women hurried away from the tomb with awe and great joy and ran to carry the good news to the disciples. Suddenly, Jesus stood before them and said, "Shalom." The women came up, embraced Jesus' feet, and worshipped. At this, Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell the disciples to go to Galilee, where they will see me." While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests what had happened. The chief priests, in turn, held a meeting with the elders, and after working out a strategy, gave a considerable amount of money to the soldiers with these instructions. "You are to say, 'His disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep.' And if any word of this gets to the governor, we will straighten it out with him and keep you out of trouble." The soldiers took the money and carried out their instructions. This is the story that circulates among Judeans to this very day.
Easter morning, we finally got here. After preparation, after the season of Lent, and now we're here at the day of resurrection, a day of new beginnings, of the overcoming of darkness. Of course, it is the most significant celebration of the year for Christians, because on Easter we assert something miraculous, that there is something beyond death, that life is more powerful. Lent is a time of preparation for this day, a time of intention, of discipline, dedication, and sacrifice. We do this to prepare for the season of Easter, this time of transformation, of renewal, and growth. Of course, there are challenges hidden in Easter. What if we don't feel too Eastery at Easter? If the transformation that we desire doesn't become the reality we expected, what if our hopeful expectations aren't met? Easter, for many, can feel like a letdown. Aren't we supposed to wake up and immediately feel joy on this day? Maybe. Maybe not. Perhaps we don't really know what Easter feels like until we really move through Good Friday. Perhaps we need to back up a few steps and see the whole picture of this last week, which of necessity includes Palm Sunday and Maundy Thursday and Good Friday, before we can get to the Easter experience. We as human beings would prefer the joy over the pain. We would like to rush through everything to the good part, without sitting with what comes before it. Easter doesn't work without knowing Good Friday. So let's go back a few days and look again at the arc of the story of Easter, because it doesn't start with eggs and Easter bunnies and the surprise of the empty tomb just like that in the morning. The miracle of Easter started last Sunday with the parade and palm branches and people shouting, "Hosanna! Hosanna to the one who comes in the name of God. Hosanna, save us. Save us." The road to Easter is paved with people shouting, "Save us," longing for something that they saw Jesus as offering. He did, but it certainly wasn't what they expected or wanted. For the path that he took to Easter morning, to resurrection, to new life, was through suffering and service and sacrifice. This is actually the road to resurrection, to transformation. On the Thursday before his trial and death, Jesus meets with his disciples in Jerusalem, where he shares a meal with them. And in a show of servant leadership, he got down on his hands and knees and he washed their feet and told them that if they were going to follow him, that's what they would be doing too. Washing each other's feet. Washing people's feet. And that in order to be known as his disciples, their only purpose was to love each other, to serve the world in love. I don't know about you, but sometimes love is really painful. It's hard. He said that whatever is to transpire in the days to come, people are going to know that you are my followers if they see you loving each other no matter what happens. And then after the meal, as he sat there with them, he took bread and he broke it and he poured the cup and he told them that whenever they shared this meal together and they were to remember him, his life poured out for them. Not the path to Easter we expect. And that was just the beginning. Spending time in community, sharing together, being in service, love, and remembrance. Because later in the evening, Jesus leads his disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he tells his disciples just to wait there for him while he goes off for a while and prays. And there he falls on his face and he prays fervently that the ordeal that he was about to endure could be taken from him. He is broken and scared. He just wants somebody to wait with him. He goes back and his disciples have fallen asleep and he says, "Wake up. Can you just wait a little longer with me? Can you be with me?" They didn't. They fell asleep. He went and prayed again. Even as fervently and as hard as he prayed for something good to happen, his prayers were not answered as he wished they would be. For indeed, he was going to have to endure the struggle and pain and suffering of the cross. Much as he didn't want to, in the end, he submitted to God's plan and made his peace with death, with his own death, which we all have to do. In the garden, as Jesus returned to his disciples after offering one last prayer, one of his disciples, who had already left them, Judas, approached the group to find Jesus and, in fact, betray him with a kiss. Not the road to transformation we expect. As the soldiers hustled Jesus away to a bogus trial, Jesus willingly submitted to the humiliation and degradation of being led away and tried as if he is a lowly criminal, as if he doesn't matter. At the trial, his character is questioned. His disciples deserted him, betrayed and denied him, and no one, not one of them, stayed there to defend him. Even he didn't have much to say on his own behalf, while leaders of his own people spat on him and physically attacked him. Not the road to transformation we want. Ultimately, in a few short hours, he was condemned to death and faced the humiliation and agony of a disgraceful death on a cross. Not the symbol of transformation we want. And for his disciples, there was unspeakable grief and anguish as their leader, their teacher, their beloved rabbi was taken from them with the finality of death. They saw no hopeful future in front of them. They were left bereft and lost, their hearts broken, their hopes dashed. Before we get to Easter, we need to go through Palm Sunday, Maundy Thursday, and Good Friday. Easter doesn't start this morning. It doesn't start with bunnies and sunshine and geese flying over and chocolate and butterflies. Because transformation, true transformation, is not painless or easy. We cannot know what authentic, grace-filled, precious life feels like until we have suffered, we have sacrificed, we have experienced pain and loss. We cannot know deep joy until we have come through times of intense sorrow. For life to be precious to us, we must know loss so that we can appreciate how really valuable and precious life is. What it's like to come back to life after losing the will to live. In order to know life, you first have to come to the tomb. In that story of that first resurrection morning, we heard from the Gospel of Matthew today, two women go to the tomb to sit and grieve and be as close to Jesus as they can in death. And they settle in to weep and wait and witness to their pain. When we know how painful life can be, only then can we know how joyful it can also be. They settle in to weep and wait and witness. That's what we do when heartache takes hold in our lives, when time drags on and we don't know what to do, how to live, or what life is going to look like. When we don't know what to do next, nor do we know how we will ever live fully again. There are days of despair and weeping and lashing out at God or others, falling into fear and anger, despondency and apathy. We go through the gamut of emotions and make half-hearted efforts to look after ourselves and our loved ones, or we curl up in our beds or on our couch and zone out, not really caring about anything. Not paying attention to what's going on in the world. We're dimly aware that life is going on around us, but it isn't really touching us. This is the Good Friday experience, and it touches everyone's life if we live a full life. Our hearts will be broken, and we are afraid we won't be able to survive it. This is the stuff of Holy Week. And only when we know this, experience it, can we really understand Easter. Easter isn't false hope or unwarranted optimism. Easter doesn't ask us to put on a mask of good cheer and pretend we're fine. Easter isn't the end of denying ourselves chocolate or screen time or whatever it is we give up and then happily going back to our old habits. That's not Easter. Easter really is about new life. But it's the new life that follows death and loss and heartache and despair. It's a life that recognizes that life is worth living. We come to life again, but it is bittersweet. The ache doesn't go away, but it's enveloped in understanding and tenderness and love and a new appreciation for life. For what we have. Easter isn't really a day. We celebrate it today. It isn't really a day, though. It is those small shards of hope and light and life breaking through into our lives, into our consciousness after the worst has happened, and we discover that life is precious and still worth living. Easter is the promise of just that green blade of grass coming up in the spring, or that daffodil waving its tiny little yellow head in the cold, hard, dark earth of spring. It's not the sweeping relief of all problems solved, or illnesses healed, or prayers answered, or everything back in its proper place. Easter doesn't come with a lot of fireworks or fanfare, usually. Often, it is that tiny tiny shard of joy and hope that breaks through the clouds and makes us feel alive again. It is small glimpses of Jesus in the garden, on the beach, walking along the road with us. It is meals shared and remembered, love given and received, kindness offered with sincerity, service rendered and accepted, joy experienced in small moments. Easter means that the worst has happened. We have come to the tomb to wait and weep. Perhaps it's a long time. It feels like a lifetime. Then one day, one precious, unexpected moment, Easter dawns, and we see once again glimpses of joy and light. It could be sudden for us, or more likely emerge over time and surprise us. We feel alive and hopeful and delight in small things, small graces, and we feel deep gratitude for life. Easter is not Easter without experiencing Holy Week, of hearing Jesus remind us to love one another and wash each other's feet. Easter is not Easter without being in the garden, desperate for relief from having to do what's ahead, or being maligned and ridiculed and on trial, or facing our cross, the pain and suffering, the things we want to avoid. We cannot know the mystery of resurrection unless we experience death. Nor is it Easter if we can't acknowledge our fear and grief, the struggle. If we can't feel our most difficult feelings, we won't feel the return to life and feelings of joy or happiness or hope. If you can't feel one, you can't feel the other. We cannot appreciate the intense joy of spring and the lengthening of days without experiencing the harsh cold and long nights of winter. We cannot know the wonder of color without contrasting it to the dinginess of gray. We cannot soak in the mystery of grace and love until we have known loneliness and rejection. And we cannot know Easter until we understand Jesus' death on the cross and that there is truly life after death. The cross. Keep going, Joanna. It's okay. Keep going. Did you open them? You already ate your chocolate? Did you see what the boxes turn into? These are symbols of new life, of joy, love. The egg, of course, is a symbol of life. Which came first? Who knows? What does Jesus say? Jesus loves you. Everyone says Jesus loves you. And sunflower seeds. If you don't have a place to grow them, they came from a place in Nova Scotia. O Canada is the company. And these are giant mammoth sunflowers. They should grow, if you look after them, to be about 10 feet tall. And of course, with sunflowers, they turn to face the sun. Their faces should be about 18 inches. I have put instructions on the table at the, just going out, if you want instructions for planting them and growing them and using them. So may we know the real mystery and miracle of Easter resurrection. May life, all life, be treasured and precious. And may we live into moments of Easter joy each and every day. For life is truly stranger and stronger than death. Let's join in our hymn, In the Bulb There Is a Flower.